Let's ask the question. Evangelicals and Donald Trump. Is this a match made in heaven or a marriage with hell?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I've got a neat story to tell you, a fun little story. I'll tell you that in a moment. And we're going to probe some sensitive issues today. But as always, in a constructive, edifying, God-glorifying way, evangelicals help get Donald Trump into office, help vote him into the presidency. Has that been a good move or a bad move? I was speaking to an evangelical leader during a conference with him in England. And I said, without question, President Trump has done a lot of things that are important to evangelicals and important to conservatives. And he said, yes, but at what cost? And he was one that, I don't know if he voted for Donald Trump or not, but recognized the good he's done, but said, how much has it cost us in the process? I just got today a couple of tweets that are really eye-opening and a couple of texts that are even more eye-opening. I want to share these with you as we ask an honest question. Evangelicals and Donald Trump. White evangelicals who voted roughly 81% for Donald Trump. Shocking in many ways, given his history. Shocking in many ways, given the fact that we always say character matters. But he's kept his promises and done so much good. On the other hand, has our association with him hurt us more than helped us? 866-348-7884. What do you think? Do you believe that the evangelical vote for Donald Trump has helped our cause on a larger basis with conservative justices appointed to the Supreme Court? Has helped our cause with many of the positive things he's done, fighting for our religious liberties, pushing back against LGBT radical activism and things like that, standing with Israel? He's done a whole lot of good from a conservative evangelical point of view, which is pro-life, pro-family, pro-Israel, pro-religious liberty? Or has our relationship with him tarnished our witness? Have we hurt ourselves more by association with Donald Trump? This is the first chapter in my brand new book, just officially released today. If you haven't ordered it, just go to Amazon. You can order the paperback. You can order the ebook. You can download it in a matter of seconds. And yeah, we got our first couple of reviews. It just came out. So we got our first couple of reviews already. 5-star, real pleased to see that. In fact, I want to read one to you because I just saw it, haven't even read it myself. But it's encouraging, just the few words that I saw. But the first chapter in the book, I take some time to unpack this question about evangelicals and Trump, a match made in heaven or a marriage with hell. Have we compromised our souls standing with this president who is far from perfect? Or have we shown integrity and insight to recognize that God uses imperfect vessels to accomplish his purposes and that a president is different than a pastor? 866-34-TRUTH. Look, I was one of those who really did not like the statement, we're electing a president, not a pastor. We're voting for a president, not a pope. And I said, yes, that's true, but character matters. But integrity matters. You can't trust someone like this. This is when I was really objecting to candidate Trump during the Republican primaries. Others said, Mike, you're looking at this incorrectly. God uses all kinds of people with all kinds of weaknesses. And when you're talking about political office, it can be very, very different. Now, the end of the show yesterday, and by the way, I'm only taking questions today that relate to this subject. I'm not taking larger questions about the Bible unless it relates to politics, unless it relates to the church and the culture. Towards the end of the show yesterday, I got a call from a gentleman. Sir, if you're listening today, I hope you're here. And he said that we have hurt ourselves. It's hypocritical for any Christian to vote for Donald Trump. Now, I don't have a problem with someone believing that, if they're consistent. When I asked this gentleman, if he voted for Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton? His answer was yes. And I said, well, then you can't call me a hypocrite for voting for Trump because these are pro-abortion candidates. And God cares about 60 million babies killed in the womb. Now, you'll notice that after he made his point and I weighed in, you didn't hear from him again. We had a very poor phone connection. Our studio was barely able to hear him. So once he was able to get his point across, I kept him on long enough to hear his heart. Normally, I like to go back and forth. I like to have a give and take. That didn't happen only because we had a bad phone connection and our studio guys are telling me we can't hear the call. So I know that meant you could barely hear it. But if you want to argue a point with me, if you think I'm wrong here, if you think my perspective is off, by all means, share that with me. But let me give you an idea of how emotional this is, all right? And how deep this is. A fellow minister, godly man, probably similar to my age, maybe slightly older, he sends me a text from his daughter. I referenced this yesterday about a minister saying there's tension in the family. I can't talk to my daughter about Trump. She loves the Lord. She loves me, but this is creating tension. She's totally against Trump. I said, well, just drop the subject with her then. Don't fellowship around Jesus. Drop the subject. You vote, she votes, and leave it there. Well, he sends me a text that she sent him, and with his permission, it's totally anonymous. You have no idea who I'm talking about, okay? But with his permission, I'm sharing this. She wrote to her dad, "What Trump stands for is the opposite of who you are and the father I have supported and loved my whole life. So when I hear you support him and champion him and make excuses or twist things to fit the narrative that Jesus is behind this, it crushes me and makes me question what I've always known to be true about you. I want you to be my hero forever. But what I see is my hero, my champion, what I see is my hero, my champion supporting a villain, and I cannot make sense of it." Now, some of you are hearing that saying, yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. Doesn't matter what your color is. Doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. Just your ethics. You say, yeah, I agree with that. The dad then sent this note to me. "I'm praying for wisdom and discernment. How to break through this force field caused by Trump. Just to have a conversation like you said today, speaking about me on radio. Come on, he only gets my vote. I agree with the reasons you stated. It's just politics. He's just the president. I don't adore him, nor am I tethered to him. My daughter knows that factually, that she's not able to disassociate all the vitriol embedded in her judgments against the president for us to have a conversation about it. There is no question that many others feel exactly the same. They are going through this tension right in their own family. Listen, there was an old friend from childhood. We hadn't been close for many, many years, but we grew up together, same neighborhood, did things together at different times. And he was still on my personal Facebook page. You know, your first personal page, we can have up to 5,000 friends. He was still on there, even though almost all of my other old friends from childhood weren't there, because most of them are very liberal. They don't believe what I believe about Jesus. They don't believe what I believe about the Bible. And because of that, they really didn't have an interest being on my page because I post certain things that reflect my views, etc. But he was still there. He was there, and we'd interact in a friendly way about other things. And if he ever challenged something I was saying about Trump, I'd say, hey, give him space. He's an old friend, old Jewish friend from Long Island. Give him space. Well, I wrote something about Trump. I don't think he read the article, but because I was making a certain point, he finally said, that's it. And he was gone. He was gone. Then I saw another friend from childhood, again, not someone I was close to over the years, but lived down the block from me. And I saw that she was on my Facebook page agreeing with a lot of things that I posted. And I sent her a note, hey, how'd this happen? Because I'd assume you're a liberal Democrat like most of the others that grew up in that neighborhood. And she said she was, but she saw what happened to the Obama administration, and she began to kind of watch the news for herself, getting past which side you're on. Because whichever side you're on, you tend to listen to those who preach to the choir. So you're a conservative, you watch, you listen to, you read conservative news. You're a liberal, you watch, you listen to, you read liberal news. And it kind of fuels our fires, and each side makes the other side look bad. And you don't really have a lot of debate, dialogue, intersection along the way. And often if we listen to the other side, we do critically, and we just get mad, angry, and all this. But she began as an independent thinker. She said she always thought independently her whole life, that she began to sort things out and ended up shifting away. It was not part of the what's called walk away campaign now, where people are leaving the Democrat Party or leaving the liberal, socialist, radical left, whatever it is, leaving that point of view. But she came to other conclusions and supports the president. But she doesn't support all the Republicans, and she has issues with other things and just doesn't trust the media. I think it's a good, healthy place to be. But she said, I told you all that to say that it's causing division in her own family and among her own friends. And she's one to speak her mind. So here's our big question. I want to get your input. I want to get your feedback today. Overall, if you look at what matters most in America, if you look at what matters most in terms of our role here as followers of Jesus, the fact that there are evangelicals who surround Donald Trump on a regular basis, the fact that he has an evangelical Christian vice president, the fact that he has perhaps the most evangelical Christian cabinet, the fact that evangelicals are largely associated with President Trump, even when we differ with him, largely associated with him, has this helped overall? Has this been a good thing overall? Has this been positive overall, or has it compromised our witness? So we may have progress in religious liberty. We may have progress in the courts. We may have progress when it comes to Israel and the Middle East. We may have progress when it comes to the economy. We may have progress when it comes to national defense. We may have progress when it comes to pushing back against a radical LGBT activist agenda. We may have progress in all these ways, but in the process of making this progress, our witness has been compromised. Or is this just a narrative of CNN or MSNBC or Huffington Post or other left-leaning or left-wing media? Is it just their narrative that we've compromised our witness? Because our witness has to do with what we do day by day. And if I was your next-door neighbor and you weren't reading my articles or listening to the radio show or anything like that, I'd just be your neighbor sharing the gospel with you, and it may not ever come up where I vote or how I vote. And if it did come up, I'd let it come up in the most gentle way so that you could completely differ with me and say, yeah, that's fine, that's politics, I see those differences. Let's talk about you, let's talk about your life. How can I help you? What's going on in your life? Let me tell you about the Lord. So let's talk about it. We'll go to your calls, and I'll share some tweets with you, fascinating tweets from today. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Listen, all of you know, if you've listened to me watch the broadcast over a period of years, well, listened for years, watched more recently as we air as well on video, but you know that we always wade into the controversial issues, the difficult issues, and talk them through together. I cannot tell you how much I've learned from you, my listening audience, how much your calls have helped shape my understanding, give me perspective that I didn't have. For example, going way back to the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case, was it self-defense? Was it manslaughter, murder, etc.? I've never been racially profiled, never have. And even growing up as a Jewish kid on Long Island, where I grew up, there was not a lot of anti-Semitism. So, yeah, that's part of our history, and bloody, terrible, brutal anti-Semitism our people have faced over the centuries. But I didn't grow up facing that, and I've never been racially profiled. So I don't know what it's like to have to train my children when they get to a certain age to warn them about if they're stopped by police for X number of reasons, if I have a teenage son, to warn them. I didn't grow up with that. It was super helpful for me to hear from people, God-fearing, Jesus-loving people, not people who are lawbreakers or despise the police, people who honored and respected police, to call in and give me perspective I didn't have. So I'm always listening I'm always learning. And when I differ, I differ. I'll be candid with you. So I love to hear from people who disagree as well as people who agree, and then people who have entirely different perspectives. So I've got a lot more to share with you. I want to grab some calls and then share some more with you as we talk through the subject, the relationship between evangelicals and Donald Trump. Because look, midterms are right around the corner, and the results of these midterms could be really momentous. And it could well be that President Trump will have the ability, not just Supreme Court, but other federal courts to shape the courts for the next 30, 40 years. That could have massive effect on religious liberty, massive effect on what's going on in your children's schools, massive effect on the life of the unborn, massive effect on other things that are important to us. On the other hand, it could be that we have a complete collapse and chaos in the nation, and that's finally what it takes for the church to pray for revival to come. God often works in surprising ways. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant for judgment. Pharaoh was God's servant for the liberating of the people of Israel. One was the servant to liberate the people of Israel by his hard heart. The other was a servant to bring them into captivity by his hard heart. These were people raised up by God. Cyrus was raised up by God. None of these kings knew the Lord. Cyrus was raised up by God to bless the people of Israel. All raised up, all for different purposes. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start in Charlotte with Agnes. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you a lot of times whenever you have some topics that I'm interested in. But one thing I would like to see how the evangelicals are dealing with 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13, mm-hmm. about the love.
Yeah.
I listen to President Trump, and I'm a Christian, and I pray for him just like I have all other presidents. I'm a Democrat, and I'm not saying just because he's a Republican, but some of the things I have been hearing on all the news channels, not just one channel. I listen mm-hmm. to 3, 9, and all of them. Ever since he's been in, he has tried to tear down our government, and he has started and caused so much racism. And I mean, I'm talking about just people that I know and people I hear on, I mean, churches and some of the churches and different places. And now people are so evil, touchy. A lot of that stuff that had been dealt with and mm-hmm. it might have been buried, like they say, that it didn't just come out under his watch. But yeah. he has made it a division. Blacks and whites are kind of that racism has surfaced. And then the way I saw him even with when he was running, the way he talked to people and then said those ugly remarks about the lady that was running, about how ugly she was, and then,
yep.
I mean, all these derogatory type yeah, yeah. things that I just can't see how that this is a president that love, and then some people have said Christian.
Yeah.
God, as far as I'm concerned, Christianity, no way. No
Got
way
it.
That God is endorsing a person like that, that talks about people any kind of way, put people down. And
yeah.
I'm just a regular lay person. I can't put in the
Agnes, yeah. No, you're doing a great job. So
okay.
let me jump in, all right? But you made yourself very clear and very articulate. So let me tell you where I totally agree with you and then where I have a different take, okay? I totally agree with you that the style of President Trump, for whom I voted, that the way he does things, the way he speaks about others, the derogatory comments, the nasty comments, the nasty tweets, the ugly nature of the way he can communicate and the way the crowd cheers him on. I agree with you that has made us worse as a country. That was one of my wife, Nancy, she voted for him with great trepidation, but that was her big concern, that he would cause like the culture to degrade. She said, look, the news, they use profanity where they never used to. It seems like everyone can just get nastier and meaner with each other.
Yes.
So that's definitely been a negative. That was a concern of mine. That's why I warned about him during the primaries. So on the one hand, I totally agree with you there. It's a shame. And that's why, to me, as an evangelical leader, I need to say, I voted for him, but I hate this. This is wrong. This is negative. But this is what I was weighing when I cast my vote. Here's where I differ. Okay, so you understand the big thing you're saying I'm with you on. Okay,
okay.
But here's where I differ. I found President Obama to be extraordinarily divisive on a racial level. I thought he could have been the man to unite the nation. Our first black president, our first African American president. What a momentous thing! But he played identity politics. He played white against black. He made things into race issues when they weren't race issues at all. You know, he criticized the police when it turned out the police acted rightly and fairly in certain cases. And I felt him to be tremendously divisive, playing black against white and class against.
Okay, Dr. Brown, let me ask you this.
Particular media. Yeah, okay. let me finish.
Oh, I thought you were finished. Okay.
No, almost. Yeah, I find the secular media playing up comments that Trump makes that aren't racist at all, that are taken as racist, but that are played up to be racist. So you got the fact that he says things I wish he wouldn't say, that he's not careful in certain. He thinks it works. In other words, he thinks this is effective and he's going to do it and it rallies his base. I think it brings out the worst in a lot of people,
right.
in a lot of people.
Yes.
And that now we're just like Trump to each other. We're nasty to each other. We're mean spirited. So I believe that President Obama.
But Dr. Brown, don't you see how he's tearing down the government?
How do you feel that way? Explain how you feel.
Because he is seeming like like when they. You see things and read it in the paper about with Putin. Okay, this is not going by just the media, but I see that he does want to be like Putin and the North Korea leader. It's like, you know how you've been not the tough guy all your life, and then you see something that you want to emulate, and that's exactly what he seems like. And it's like the Republicans, you never hear them say anything against when he say things about, like, the woman. I'm not even going to use the word that MF, because you know where that comes from. Okay,
no,
so children should be able to listen to a president. No, they are not perfect, but our children should be able to say, I would like to one day be a president, because he would be showing that type of leadership to know how to lead a government. And what you're saying about President Obama, I saw some things as well, and I didn't agree with it. But the way Donald Trump is being so vocal with all these derogatory, is no way 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter. Because God said that, you know, if you, all the things that he has done, but have not love, it profits you nothing. So those two just don't match up. And it says, out of the heart, the mouth speak it. And that's what he's doing. That is in his heart, and it is tearing up our country. And that really bothers me from a Christian standpoint. So I'm not going to take up much time, but it bothers me, really, because children should be able to look at TV and enjoy listening to their president. And I always try to respect whatever president.
I see him trying to get the government to work properly. Does he want to be like an alpha male kind of guy? Yeah, that's who he is, and that's why people voted for him,
is to be that kind of guy that's going to
face down international leaders and tell the leader of Korea, okay, you got a button, I got a bigger button. But look, I am voting for policy, not for personality. So bottom line is I could never possibly vote for a Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton because they stand for the slaughter of the unborn. And if that was the only issue, so I'd rather have a guy that's nasty and mean-spirited and profane who's standing for the life of the unborn than someone who smiles and says, go ahead and kill him. That's just my take. But thank you. Hey, we're out of time.
Okay. All right. Enjoy talking to you. Bye.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. Let me share two tweets that I received today. They relate directly to the question of the relationship between evangelicals and Donald Trump. Has it been a match made in heaven or a marriage with hell? How can evangelicals who say character matters stand with a man who has such obvious character flaws? Others would say, look, this is not our pastor. This is not our bishop. This is not our pope. This is our president. We're talking about political battles. We need a warrior. Well, check out these tweets. And then I want to hear from you. 866-348-7884. This is a tweet from a woman named Alyssa. All right. She sent this to me today. She said this: I write for another website whose American evangelical audience would constantly call us satanic, leftist, or otherwise not Christian if ever we published an article saying anything less than glowing about Trump. And she's thanking me for my article yesterday, Donald Trump is not the Christ, Donald Trump is not the Antichrist. So she's saying, here's a website she writes for, it has an evangelical audience. And if they published an article that was less than glowing about him, people said it was satanic, leftist, or otherwise. How dare you say a word negative about the president? If you do, that is satanic because God raised him up. That's the one side. Then I get this other tweet. Are you ready for this? From Charles. I disagree. He disagrees with me that Trump is not the Antichrist. There are many biblical warnings pointing at Trump as being the possible Antichrist, like the number 666 being all over him in plain sight, and the Antichrist peace covenant with Israel, and many. Trump is working on a peace plan with Israel and many others now. So here you get the one side. If you say anything less than glowing about the president, that's satanic. Here you get the other side. Well, no, it's very good probability he is the Antichrist. Now, I decided to leave this. I didn't want to say, please explain yourself here and then tear at it from there. But the number 666 being all over him in plain sight? Let me ask my faithful studio mates in here, Matt, Caleb, Kai, could you tell, what am I missing? Where is the number 666 all over Donald Trump in plain sight? Am I missing something? I remember in late 70s, early 80s, a woman telling me, Ronald Reagan is the Antichrist. I said, oh, really? He is. She said, yeah. Look at his name. Ronald Wilson Reagan. Six letters in each name. Six, six, six. I have to laugh because it's so absurd and so crazy. But I remember the same stuff going on with Barack Obama. He's the chosen one. He's the savior. No, he's the Antichrist. How about Mikhail Gorbachev? He's got the mark of the beast. He's the birthmark. He's got the mark of the beast. He's got these people actually said this stuff, believe this stuff. Yeah, I believe there's going to be an Antichrist figure one day. I believe that person will wreak havoc on the earth and oppose the people of God. And it's going to be a person. It's not Barack Obama. It's not Donald Trump, at least in their present incarnations. If something changes in 20 years from now, who knows? 866-34-TRUTH. Has our relationship as evangelical Christians with the president been a match made in heaven or a marriage with hell? I want to go to the phones in a moment, but I really appreciate this review of my new book. Just came out today, so it's just got the first couple of reviews on Amazon. But this blessed me, from Mary. What a great book. So my book, Donald Trump is Not My Savior. If you haven't gotten it yet, just order it. You can download the ebook, have it in a matter of seconds, or order the paperback. All right, just on Amazon. Go ahead and do it, and then tell a friend about it. But listen to this, because this blessed me. It means that what I was trying to convey, she got. What a great book. Absolutely love how Dr. Brown has taken us through his experience with President Trump. I, too, was not originally for him, but as the campaign went on, I knew there was something more to him running, a reason beyond our understanding, something working in heavenly places. When I heard that Dr. Brown has written this book, I knew I had to get it, too. It's so worth the buy. I got it in the pre-order and got book number 30. People, this book is worth the read. I recommend that anyone interested, as well as especially anyone judging it by its cover, needs to read it. Thanks so much for that. And a comment above that, that says that I help them understand the signs of the times, 1 Chronicles 12, what's happening and how we should respond as God's people. I want to be constructive. I want to give some suggestions, some guidelines as to how we can have our political convictions and yet not divide, and how we can vote for the good policies that the president is putting forward while differing with aspects of his character. If we do anything to have a seat at the table, then we sell our souls. And other spiritual leaders have done that with other administrations. If you give me a little power and I'll sell you my soul. Give me a little influence and I'll compromise my convictions. Give me a voice here so I can get my message out and I'll tone it down over here. No, that's compromise. That's the spirit of Judas, not the spirit of Jesus. But think of this, and I'm going to go to the phones. Here, I'm very loyal to friends of mine, all right? And even people that I develop a friendship with from a distance, whatever I can do to speak with them first and interact with them first and cover them first, rather than differ publicly, I'm going to do it. So I've had my differences with Andy Stanley, as you know, but I'll send him something because we've established a friendship by text and by phone. I'll send him, okay, here's where I differ with you. And they'll say, okay, I don't think you're fair here. I'll say, wait, how about this? I'm going to lay it out. I'm going to publish this. He goes, great. It doesn't affect our friendship. Make your differences known. Then let's talk about it on the air. All right. If I had that same access to the president, this show would sound very different. I would not say some things publicly because I have his ear privately. And if I have his ear privately and you come attacking him, I'm going to defend him more because I have his ear privately, just like you would do with a family member. So I'm thrilled that there are evangelicals who have the ear of the president that are speaking into his life, that are praying for him. I don't expect them to be the main public voice saying, I wish you wouldn't say that, sir. I'm grieved over this, because they have his ear privately. I don't have his ear privately. So for the sake of my witness, I'm going to say, here's why I voted for him. Here's why I'd vote for him against Hillary Clinton again. Here are the major reasons. And here's what grieves me. And I wish you wouldn't do this. And this, I don't like this in his policy, but he has my vote for these reasons. That's important for me to do for the sake of integrity. And that's important for us to have the conversation for having integrity. If I had his ear privately, I would say, well, we've addressed those things privately. I'm not going to criticize him publicly. We've addressed those things privately. He knows how I feel. I don't have his ear. He's not a family member. He's not a friend. I'm not in his inner circle. I have friends who are in his inner circle, but that's for them to work out how they interact with him. I'm not. Therefore, as a voice on radio and a voice in writing and a voice on internet and TV, I'm going to speak with integrity to say, as a follower of Jesus, my testimony comes first, and that's based on who I am and how I live. You can read all my books, read all my articles, listen to all the shows, watch me live, listen to me preach, hang out with the people that hang out with me, see my life. That's my testimony. And then I vote. And I vote. I weigh this, and based on that, I cast my vote, just like you do. And I'm not going to let the world or the media or the Christians tell me that my integrity or my testimony is tied in with the president. Any more than if you felt it was best to vote Democrat and voted for Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama as a Christian, I profoundly differ with that based on the issues important to me. But I'm not going to judge your salvation or your testimony based on that. I'm going to watch your life and judge you based on that in a positive way. If I see godly fruit, I'm going to say, boy, I can't understand how you voted for Hillary Clinton, but I see you love the Lord and you love the lost and you're living a godly life. That's what I'm going to evaluate you on. That's where we have to see things rightly and fairly. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Salt Lake City. Tom, all right, I was going to say thanks for holding, but I guess he didn't hold. Let's go to Philip in Georgia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
So I had a point that I wanted to emphasize. The 2016 election for me I'm in my 20s. I've historically been a conservative voter. I believe I would still be considered a very much conservative voter, and I'm an evangelical Christian. And just so you know, FYI, I ended up not voting for Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election.
Did you vote at all, or cast a protest vote, or just sit it out? So you cast a protest vote.
Yeah, I voted for a third-party candidate.
Got it.
On the presidential ticket. I voted Republican most of the rest of the way, and there was actually a senator who I thought was essentially just an R by his name was the only thing that made him Republican. So I actually did not vote for him either. But I usually vote Republican because Republicans are more conservative than Democrats.
Got it. But you couldn't vote for Donald Trump, which I fully respect. I understand that.
And honestly, and this is getting to my point, is how I think evangelicals, in terms of, we got November coming up, it's very important for evangelicals to get out there, and the evangelical vote needs to be very prominent in the United States of America. But the reason I didn't vote for Donald Trump partly was because of being a values voter, which I believe we should be as evangelical Christians, partly, but actually most of mine actually had to do with policy. I don't believe that the president that Donald Trump has become. There were many to any indicators of that in Donald Trump's life, the 65, 70 years prior, and what he said during the campaign. I've been very pleasantly surprised from a policy standpoint regarding his foreign policy, Israel, fighting off our enemies in terms of his tax policies and how to handle the economy, et cetera, et cetera. Mine was more policy, and that's what I'm getting at for fellow evangelicals. I think that we do, for the most part – need to have at least a certain separation between, you know, the way we approach the ballot box. I think we need to vote for the public officials and representatives in this republic, which best uphold our values, but mostly the oaths to the Constitution that they take. The president takes a special written in the Constitution oath to protect and defend the Constitution. We shouldn't evaluate the president based off of how good a Christian he is or isn't. To be frank, there are a lot of Christians, at least who call themselves Christians, who I think would be terrible presidents. And
like Jimmy Carter, Sunday school teacher. Hey, real quick, if you knew how Trump was going to act once he was elected, would you have voted for him, or do you feel good that you didn't vote for him?
I would have voted for him, most likely.
Got it. All right. Thank you. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. So here's a question when it comes to president. Now, remember, the title of my book, Donald Trump is Not My Savior. I have one Savior only. Only one who bled and died for me. Only one who gave his blood for me. Only one who sacrificed his life for me. My life belongs to him. My life belongs to the Lord, not to a human being, certainly not to a president, certainly not to a political party, certainly not to the governmental system. I live and die for the Lord. I honor my country and seek to better my country as a loyal citizen. However, when it comes to a matter of loyalty to Jesus versus loyalty to a man or to a country, there's no contest whatsoever. I'd encourage you, if you have friends who are never Trumpers or friends who say, no way I could vote for Donald Trump, get them a copy of my book before the midterms. Donald Trump is not my savior. But remember, I voted for him. And if the elections were today and it was him versus Hillary Clinton, I'd vote for him even more quickly than I did then. You say, what about the damage he's done? That's what I was afraid of, and that's what's happened. But the issue of the good he's done, to me, has far exceeded that, and I don't listen to the attacking media that won't give credit for anything. If the economy is important to you, well, that's big. He's helped that immensely. National security, he's helped that immensely. Standing with Israel, helped that immensely. look, there were people in Israel that talked to me that they were willing to talk to me about the Lord after they told me that they liked Donald Trump. They wanted me to know that because I was American, and they were happy to talk to me about the Lord. I mean, it happened while I was there. And for the pro-life movement and for the courts and pushing back against radical LGBT activism. Here, I mean, let's just remember what we were dealing with. And I want to address this for those who voted for Barack Obama, but then question how a Christian could vote for Donald Trump. There is a cover on Newsweek magazine I'm looking at now, a cover of Newsweek magazine where they call him the first gay president. The first gay president, and there he is with a rainbow halo over his head, okay? You say, well, he didn't ask for that. No, but he was considered to be a great champion of LGBT movement. And if you remember, during the 2008 campaign, he said as a Christian, marriage is important to him. It's the union of one man and one woman. He said that was important, right? That he was against homosexual marriage. Well, his campaign director, David Axelrod, said he lied so as to win the conservative African-American vote because he knows that African-Americans are conservative socially, and therefore he lied about it. And that's why he said his views, quote, evolved, where he came out in favor of it and helped change the definition of marriage in America. The most fundamental of the fundamentals in our country, marriage, family, he led the way to help seeing that change. And without that, you could argue the Supreme Court wouldn't have ruled the way it ruled. You say, well, maybe his views did evolve. Well, we know that years earlier when he was running for Senate, he was given a questionnaire to fill out and said quite emphatically that he stood for homosexual marriage. This is known. This is circulated. Well known and well circulated. People wanted to deny it. So here he lied about how his Christian faith, according to everything we know, and according to his right-hand man, David Axelrod, and I've never heard President Obama deny this, that he lied about his Christian faith to get a certain segment of the Christian vote. I voted for Donald Trump, fully understanding that this man does not know the Bible, fully understanding that he does not emulate the character of Jesus, fully understanding that if he's a Christian, he is an absolutely brand new Christian. If he's a Christian, oh, he's an absolute baby brand new Christian. And yet, when it comes to issues like the genocide of Christians in the Middle East, I read an incredibly, incredibly intense, detailed, damning article that the whole rise of ISIS and the slaughter of hundreds of thousands of Christians in the Middle East is a direct result of President Obama not listening to people when he said, we got to pull our troops out of here, we've got to pull out here, and the Iraqi army was not ready, and it's an absolute tragedy. And it was a detailed, detailed article from folks on the ground there. Is it true or not? I can't speak to it directly. What I can say is that his Middle Eastern policy was ultimately a weak and bad one that opened the door for ISIS and that opened the door for the genocide of Christians. You can say, well, let's push it back further on George W. Bush and that he shouldn't have gotten into Iraq and tried to remake the government and the whole bit, and it goes back to him. Maybe so. This is not Republican versus Democrat to me. All I'm saying is I could sit here all day and bring all these massive charges against Barack Obama and say, you're not a Christian if you voted for him. And his Christianity was false. His is the Christianity of Jeremiah Wright, the race-baiting Christianity of Jeremiah Wright. But can I ask you, if you listened to me for 10 years, how often I even mentioned the name Barack Obama? I've mentioned his name more in response to callers who are saying you're wrong to vote for Donald Trump, but I voted for Barack Obama. I've said his name more in the last week than I probably did in many months and years before that. And look at all my articles. I did not bash. I've said more critical things about Donald Trump than about Barack Obama in terms of addressing things I don't like and I differ with. In the first 2 years of the Trump presidency and during the campaigns, I've said more critical things of Donald Trump than I said about Barack Obama. Because my goal was not to be conservative talk radio and bash him and bash him and bash him. And my daily prayer, if it ever came up in a conversation, my prayer was, God, make him the greatest president we have ever had in our nation. And I wanted to have the privilege of voting for the first African-American president, but I couldn't in conscience because of where I knew he stood on abortion and where I was convinced he stood on gay activism and the concerns I had about where he stood with Israel, which ended up being worse than I thought. At the same time, I'm coming to you straight and saying I don't like a lot of things that President Trump does, and I wish he did a lot of things differently. But the reasons that I voted for him remain. And that's why I voted for him. And that's why I'd love to see the things he's pushing for push forward, while I keep hoping and praying that he'll change in certain ways and not be so divisive and not be so offensive. And I know in saying that, I just offended people on every side. But I'm not trying to win your favor. I'm trying to speak the truth in love. And then you learn from me and I'll learn from you. Does that sound like a deal? I'll speak my mind. You learn from me, sift out what you agree with, differ with. Then I learn from you, and then we sit down and have a meal together and smile, and let's go win the lost. Can we do that? Can we be mature enough to do that? I believe we can. I believe we can. All right, let's go back to the phones. We go to Russell. Oh, Russell. I'll tell you what. If I can get to both these calls, one defending President Obama, one agreeing with me on President Obama, I'd love to get both of you to speak. All right, Charles in Winston-Salem. Oh, Charles is gone. Charles was going to differ with me. Oh, come on. All right, well, we'll go to Jeanette in Durham. I hope you're there. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
I am definitely here. Thank you. Thank you. I was given information to be direct, but everything you say about Obama was great. As a matter of fact, I was hoodwinked. In my neighborhood, they just bombarded us with him, and it's amazing to me. It really is when I say this. What he stood for and all that, and I mean, and as a believer, I hated I ever voted for him. I do, and I mean, I don't have a lot of regrets in my life, but that is one I regret. Mm. And I am for Trump because I think as believers, we forget what Obama stood for. Even though a lot of us we fell in love with him, you know, it was how he was PR was awesome, you know. And as a believer, we need to remember what the platform, what he stood for. We forget. And if I could say as an African-American female, I felt really betrayed. You know, I shouldn't have, but I do. So when people come to me or when I hear stuff about Trump, I'm like, go back. Remember what you voted for and what we got. And you're right. He had, you know, with the gay thing and all that, come on. As a believer, come on. The word. We serious about the word. Come on. The word does not justify that. But, you know, Christians say what they want to say or whatever. But I'm just saying that we need to remember. Then we got issues about Trump. Come on. And I'm done, sir.
Well, Jeanette, let me ask you one question.
Oh, okay,
sure. Are there other friends, colleagues of yours that were in your community that voted the way you voted, that now see things the way you see?
Absolutely. We talk about it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Got it. And the rough edges of President Trump or the things he can say and do, do you feel that he is just rough edges, or do you feel he's divisive racially?
I don't. I see him as he is. He's a businessman. He's a president, okay? He was elected to do a job, and he's doing it.
Got it. Hey,
that's
all clear.
Awesome.
Hey, yeah, Jeanette, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. We want to give voice to folks on every side, but thank you for weighing in. Much appreciated.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you.
You too. And, you know, it's interesting having regrets. We all do. But sometimes the only way we get where we are today is by learning by our experiences, you know? So I just want to say this. Some of you that are so positive on Donald Trump, you're upset with me for differing with him on any level. And some of you who are so negative on him, you're differing with me for voting for him. Okay, so like I said, I'm not trying to offend. I'm not trying to not offend. I'm just trying to be honest and really prayerful. Lord, how can I, as a voice, help speak in the midst of this? So I want to stir up your thinking and have some good, healthy conversation. And then at the end, let's fellowship around what really matters, which is our relationship to the Lord, and put politics. It's important, but it's very secondary. But even in my most anti-Trump days during the Republican primaries, even in my days of warning about it because I didn't know that he would do the things he did or keep his word, even in those days, I defended him and said he's not an anti-Semite. And talking to privately to Nancy, and then I'd say here, I didn't think he was a racist. I still don't think he's a racist. I'm quite sure he's not an anti-Semite, but he says a lot of things that play into a narrative that can make him look bad. That being said, get my book if you don't have it. Donald Trump is not my savior. And when you read it, give us a call. Tell us what you think. Back tomorrow.